Kate back to this compliment Nick Cannon gave her, and we'll tell you all about it.
And did Dominique Fishback have to convince Donald Glover to give her the role of Dre on his show Swarm? We got that tea.
Ooh. Well, welcome to the Dish Nation.
Yay!
What's up?
Woo! And today is Juneteenth, so we'll be celebrating Black Excellence for the entire show.
That's right. In case you don't know what Juneteenth is, we celebrate the emancipation of enslaved Africans of the Americas. It recognizes a legal decree issued June 19th of 1865, enforcing the Emancipation Proclamation in Texas. So I'm happy all of us can live out our American dream thanks to the struggles and strife of our ancestors endured so we can be free.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On that note, Tanner, why don't you get us started?
Emancipate this first story.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, speaking of living the American dream.
I cannot.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, all right. Well, speaking of living the American dream, I'm pretty sure Tyler Perry is making his ancestors proud.
Okay.
The billionaire likes to keep to himself, and he keeps himself grounded by driving the car he lived out of before making it big. And that car was a blue Geo Metro convertible.
Yo, when I tell you my man is living the dream for real, this was the car I wanted before I had a license. And right around the time I was able to have a license, they stopped making Geos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yo, and it still looks good. Like, I forgot that they had that in convertible.
Yeah, they did. But this is a mystery to me. How does he fit in that car?
Oh, okay. He's like 6'5".
Look at
he's
how
a big
huge
dude.
He is.
Like, knocking the steering wheel. He's giving very much skinny Respucia. Right?
Does he get in it or does he just put it on? You know what I'm saying?
I'm screaming. I am screaming. But what a way to stay down to earth. I feel like Tyler Perry, out of all the black billionaires, he's the one I can most relate to.
For sure.
Yeah, just chasing your dream and being able to be homeless and then coming out of that and still staying grounded like that. I just appreciate that so much.
Well, all right. So Nick Cannon just can't seem to stop gushing over his ex-wife and baby mama, my idol Mariah Carey. During an interview, Nick gave props to Mimi for being his superhero. Listen to this.
Like, she's just always happy, always doing for others. Like, no matter what's happening in life, I'm like, wow, a person can really operate like that and don't allow negative energy into their space.
So when
that's like when I found that out about her and saw how remarkable she was, like, that woman's not human. She's a gift from God.
He should have just gotten on the good foot and stayed with Mariah.
Man.
Because it sounds like he's still in love with her.
I forgot why they broke up.
He filed for divorce.
Wait, he did?
That's the shocking part, because a lot of people just assumed it was Mariah, but it was actually Nick who filed for divorce.
I didn't know
but
that.
But Wes always been actively campaigning to get her back, which is a subtle flex. Like, yo, I married and divorced Mariah Carey.
Wow.
But
yeah.
You know them other baby mamas got to feel like endangered species every time he goes on any platform and talks about how dope Mariah is.
He never brings up a single one of those other baby mamas.
He filed for divorce for Mariah?
Mm-hmm.
What was his reasoning?
He wanted to get
temporarily insanity.
Yeah, it had to be.
For sure.
Is he okay?
Obviously, Larry, 12 kids later.
Okay.
What do you think?
Like, just imagine if you could have all 12 of your kids with the same person.
Yes.
I bet he wouldn't add 12, but yeah.
But moving on to more interesting news about the Africans in Americas, the Weeknd has turned it. And I'm talking about his enormous popularity. Now, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, he is officially the most popular artist in the world, and he's the first artist to reach over 100 million monthly listeners.
Wow.
Now, so the Swifties, the Beehive, and the Barbs, the Navy, y'all gonna have to take multiple seats in the cheap seats and sit down somewhere, because this is crazy.
It's huge.
I would never think that a man who makes music to clean up to actually have so many fans that are hardcore. That's huge.
He dead ass makes like the best elevator music. Like, I ain't gonna hold you, the best.
Is that what's so special about it? Is it always kind of right, so it can always be on somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, wait
everywhere.
A minute, I'm lost. Like, Worth It is like elevator music?
Nah, it's like the music where they find your body.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like,
Worth It is like we're hooking up in the elevator.
Right.
That's what Worth It is.
I mean, like, any other black artist you think probably, like, you know, probably could have topped this or pulled it off, but just
probably
weren't
Drake.
At the time of streaming?
I'm surprised it's not Drake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought Drake would beat
him. Doesn't Drake have the most number ones or the most?
I thought so.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he has the most number ones, but as it relates to like monthly listeners on a streaming platform, apparently there's a bunch of, you know, Canadians just wilding out.
Shout out to Phil
Canada.
They just got that Spotify on loop and they just left it in the room.
Period. Wow. The Canadians don't play.
Canada's the new Atlanta. It took the whole country.
Literally.
But, you know, but
literally.
It's the new Atlanta as it comes to music.
All right. If you've seen the show Swarm, you know Dominique Fishback is a powerhouse actress. But check this out. She almost didn't play the lead role of Dre, y'all.
Oh. What?
So Donald Glover, who created the show, originally wanted her to play the part of Marissa, which went to Chloe Bailey. But Dominique, who's known for her playing lovable characters, wanted to try something different. She said, they're so used to seeing me be able to do that. And so Donald's mind didn't automatically go to Dre, but he was excited by the idea. So she ended up getting the juiciest part. And the rest is history. I, for one, am glad she got that role because I could not see her getting her back clapped. By Damson Idris. Like that. I'm sorry. Like, the back clapping with Dominique, I'm sorry. I'm glad I didn't see that.
Yeah, he threw his back out.
I'm glad I didn't see that.
You know, but, yo, but Dominique Fishback is a tour de force.
Yeah.
If anything I've ever seen her in,
she kills everything.
She's completely crushed it. Yeah. So, like, she definitely gonna be, like, prime and ready for award season at some point in the very near future.
It's her time. I've always admired her work. I think she's phenomenal. But seeing her in this role, I was like, damn, girl, Dahmer ain't got nothing on you. Well, the dude from You ain't got nothing on you. I'm talking about, like, she was, like, the best serial killer I've ever seen in fiction or real life. Like, literally. Mm-hmm. Like, she embodied that role.
Where? I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, you haven't seen it.
Nah,
but I see, I didn't give it away.
I'm gonna watch it soon. Check it out. Thanks for the cliff notes.
It's hilarious.
All right, well, Tyler James Williams is out here flexing. Now, he recently won a Golden Globe for his role on Abbott Elementary, but there was a time where his future was a little bit uncertain. Mm-hmm. Now, let's take it back in the day where he played the teenage version of Chris Rock on Everybody Hates Chris. But when the show ended, a producer gave him a slap in the face. And that's metaphorically, that is.
No.
The producer wasn't Will Smith. According to Tyler, the producer told him, I'll never see you as anything else. And you'll probably never work again.
Mm. Wow.
Well, that, my friends, lit a fire under him, and he got a good acting coach, and he turned down everything he was offered until he got Dear White People. And look at him now.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, he's killing it, man.
Yeah, good for him. I've always been a fan of him. I feel like Everybody Hates Chris. He just was not appreciated enough for that role. Mm.
Yo.
He was so young, and he carried that show so well.
To the point where he was like a character on The Walking Dead, and he died on that show, and I saw people overdubbed the Everybody Hates Chris music.
Yeah.
Torn apart by zombies.
I forgot all about that because you said that.
Has anybody ever told y'all in so many words that they thought your career was over?
Yeah, all the time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'll never forget, like, walking off of doing a reality show. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not going to work here. You're not going to work there. And I remember getting I had a Twitter show with Will Packer, and his team got a call from the person who was telling me I was never going to work. And he was like, he still gave me an opportunity.
That's
amazing. You know, so I've been able to still keep going. Going strong despite whatever people have said about me. Yeah.
Shout out to Will Packer.
Yeah, good
Power man. Packer.
They tell me that every single day after Dish Nation. I'm like, I'm still coming tomorrow. I'm still going to be here tomorrow. You can't keep me out like that.
Okay.
I know that's right. Well, up next, Lotto says she's not a gangster. But wait till you hear why. Details after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
And we're back. Jadakiss reveals Biggie's strict rules about compliments. Now, during a recent appearance on the Startin' Five podcast, Jada reflected on his relationship with the Notorious B.I.G. and how he wanted to talk about anything else except rap. Check it out.
We won't stop. We had this thing where we couldn't talk about each other's craft, or we couldn't say how dope we were to each other.
Oh, I get it. He didn't want you to be a fan. He wanted you to be a peer.
With each other, like, we not, let's...
None of that.
You don't do...
Because that's the work.
Let's talk about anything else except that.
Kind of shocking, but not so much, because, I mean, like, you're Biggie.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you're dope. You know what I'm saying? You know you're dope.
Yeah.
And you probably want to have just, like, regular, organic conversations sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but music people, like... or a regular organic conversation is talking about music.
Right.
Right?
Well, hold up. Is that what it's like whenever you and Tony are talking about music? Do you talk about each other's vocal performances or this recent track that you lay down?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
So like a boxer who wants to talk about anything but boxing, a basketball player. Like, man, that three-pointer the other night. Like,
At a certain point, anything but work.
Do you guys feel like that sometimes where it does feel more fanish than an authentic conversation?
I just don't want the whole conversation to be about music. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we can talk about other people, but not like, you know, oh, hey, Scott, you dropped a dope bar.
Yeah, I get
oh, my God, so what was the inspiration?
Yeah. Can you show me you're interested? Now let's talk about some food.
All right, y'all, moving right along. Lotto is shutting down her critics who claim that the gangsta persona she pushes in her music doesn't match to her authentic personality outside of the studio. She went on IG Live and said, Tamar, can you give us a little bit of your Lotto impersonation?
I can, friend, because I love her. Okay. I'm not gangsta. I never claim to be a gangsta. I got a man who suck these toes every night.
Oh.
I cook. I'm a whole housewife.
Oh.
That was a white side talking.
That wasn't gangsta?
No, no, I'm just saying, like, when she said that, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was, you know.
Now, Lotto rapped about a gun charge she got some years ago, and she also denied claims that she did a diversion program to get the charges dropped. Now, I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing, right? I get what she's saying, but lately, a lot of the female rappers, when you watch their videos, they're doing this a lot.
Yeah.
They're doing this a lot. And last time I checked, that's shooting. You shoot somebody.
That's virtual gun.
Right. So you guys are coming across as gangsters. So that's why people are putting that connection.
Unless you guys cleans it up and be like, no, I'm telling you to come here. Both hands, come here.
I think Lotto gives us both because on her TikTok, she gives us meals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She's about to start sewing next. I can feel it in my spirit.
From Lotto to meal Lotto. I like it.
Okay, well, Jennifer Hudson is not just an EGOT winner. She's a mother first, and she doesn't play about her motherly role. So during her appearance on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Kimmel, Jay Hud discussed what it is like raising her 13-year-old son, and even admitted to checking his phone, child. Take a look.
How old do you think is the right age for a kid to get a phone?
Maybe 12. But you gotta check their phone, though.
Well, yeah. Do you go through his phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I'm Mama Hood. I'm gonna check their phone.
And does he know you go through the phone?
He know now if he didn't.
You got to.
Period. Yeah. Especially in these controversial times where these kids have easy access to so many platforms that you don't even know.
I don't even think it's a mystery, though, because if mom gives you a phone and you're 12 years old, you should probably know that mom's going to look through your phone.
Of course.
Yeah, my son knows I'm looking.
But then also, they're also going to, like, probably be smart enough to scrub their browser history, at a certain time every day. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever pulled up, like, Logan's search history and it's just blank?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Yes.
Listen, he's 9, which means he's like really 20 nowadays. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And didn't he also lock you out of your phone right now?
Tamar's been complaining about how she has to use her face to open her phone. She can't use her.
Your son checking your phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Checking your history.
Yeah, are you cleansing your history before Logan checks your
phone?
Up next, Sanaa Lathan had a lot of explaining to do when she confused her Reginas. We'll explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back, y'all.
Hey.
So, Regina Hall recently shared a story about the time when her close friend, Sanaa Lathan, gave her some wrong information about a role. Ooh. Regina was staying with Sanaa and told her that she really, really needed a job. That's when Sanaa told her that someone named Philip told her that Regina landed a role and she'll get a call the next day, but not to say nothing.
Mm.
So, they were excited, and then the next day came, but Regina didn't get the call that she expected for the job that she wanted to get. So, she decided to call her agent to find out what's going on and came to find out that the role was for Regina King.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's tough. That hurts.
That happens a lot,
sure.
I've seen it happen a couple times in interviews where they've called Regina King all and the other way around.
Yep.
And they're both so damn talented, too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, now you got to be happy for the other Regina.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Because they both my friends. Yeah, okay. Regina,
sorry, Regina.
I can't let this one go. Can y'all imagine booking Mr. T for an event and Gary with the T showing up?
Yo, I'm
Unless that movie is called The Gay Team, I don't even know if that was like that.
Tata, you quit? Come back.
I did a little fool.
I'm done.
Wow. If only Gary were here.
I am done.
That is done. Dun, dun.
Spin thing. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Oh my gosh, you guys. Kevin Hart's daughter, Heaven, is now 18 years old.
Oh wow.
For her birthday, Kevin shared this post saying, "And just like that, my little girl is 18. Wow, where does the time go? So proud and so happy to see you grow into the amazing woman that you are. Love you, my G. Hashtag hearts." Well, some folks are coming for him for using this photo of Heaven missing her two front teeth. Now, what do you guys think about this? I think the photo is adorable.
I get it. You know,
y'all can post whatever pictures you want of your kids. This is his kid. Yeah. You can post this picture if you want. It's cute.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Yeah, I wish people would go outside and there's this green stuff called grass. Please touch it.
Yeah.
Please touch it.
Go get your feet out
there. Yeah. Touch
it. Take in some sun.
Right. People are just annoying.
I think the picture is fitting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, do y'all think Heaven was embarrassed when Kevin posted that photo?
Why would she be embarrassed? Her dad is Kevin Hart.
She's an 18-year-old. She's a young woman. She's an 18-year-old woman. Of course, she's a little embarrassed.
This picture has nothing on the things that he says about his kids and family and his stand-up. You know what I'm saying? True. I'm sure they got tough skin. Everything is funny at this point.
And everybody at one point in their life or twice misses their two front teeth.
Okay.
That's true.
We've all been there.
My kid is doing that right now.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yo, he looks like the one you should avoid. You know what I'm saying?
Screaming.
You on a roll today, HK. Hey. Coming up, is 9-year-old Northwest coming for her mom's crown when it comes to being an entrepreneur? Details after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
Welcome back, y'all.
Woo!
She might be only 10 years old, but Northwest is already following in her mogul parents' footsteps, y'all. Northwest not only has a toy line in the works, but a skincare line, too.
Right.
Now, this isn't surprising because Northwest has the best TikToks where she has actually shown off some of her beauty routines. But what do we think of North and her business ventures? Are we here for the black girl magic?
Hold up. She's 10 and she's already got beauty routines?
Yeah, yeah. She does it all the time.
Like kids with crow's feet?
Is that too young for beauty routines?
She does it all the time, yeah. I've seen her do it. I mean, when I was her age, I was just using
body.
Yeah, like I wasn't like, doing all this skin.
Shouldn't
routine.
It be like a beauty routine for 10-year-old? Be just like wash your face and use soap.
What would be your business if your 10-year-old, if your 10-year-old self had could start a business? What would your 10-year-old self like?
Gosh.
Would it be?
Yeah, I'd probably be like a bait kid on Catch a Predator. You know, what I'm saying? Like if I could be 10, like you know what I'm saying? Like I would light my IMDb the hell up. You know what I'm saying? Like oh yeah, like you brought mad people to justice. Yeah,
a bait kid. I was so attractive when I was 10. Everybody wanted me.
Come over so we can do stuff.
No, it's Bait Kid. Not you again. It's like, yo, I got you. I'm Bait Kid. The scourge of the pedophiles of the internet, Bait Kid.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.